Let's look at Acts chapter 8 and continue from there. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9, then, everybody say then. There arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now let me pause here again real quick. The synagogue of the freedmen, who the heck is that? Well, these were basically some Hellenistic Jews. And it's very likely that this was the very synagogue that Stephen came from before he got saved, because Stephen was a Hellenistic Jew. Synagogue of the freedmen. So these are probably Stephen's old buddies that are thinking, dude, what is going on with you, man? What are you getting all this Jesus stuff from? Don't you realize the problems that you were causing? Are you insane? What are you doing hanging around with those guys? He was probably catching a lot of grief, but he would answer with wisdom they could not resist. Now, who else was among them? Well, it says here that most commentators think there were like three synagogues actually represented there. The synagogue of freedmen, then this other one that had Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and then this other one that had members from Cilicia and Asia. Now, Saul of Tarsus, you guys ever heard of him? Tarsus was in Cilicia. And so this synagogue represented here probably had, and in fact he's there at the scene, we'll see later, Saul of Tarsus among them. So Saul of Tarsus, who later became who? Paul the Apostle, was probably here disputing with Stephen, getting his butt kicked by Stephen's wisdom. Can you imagine that? Here's the Apostle Paul, and Stephen is running circles around him, saying, "Nah, man, that's not what it's all about. Here's the truth. Here's the Word of God. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus." And Paul going, wow. That's staggering, man. That's amazing. So here's Stephen. He's got all his old buddies just saying, man, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? And Saul of Tarsus is probably in there throwing everything he can muster. And it says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now, you know, the spirit of the world doesn't care what it has to resort to win. Spirit of the world to do anything. And it's tragic, but here we go in verse 11. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Isn't it amazing that people lie about Christians? You know, I don't know. I'm just naive, I guess. I expect everybody to be honest. I ought not be naive. I used to handle claims for a living. People lie to me, you know, 7 out of 8 hours a day. I should know better by now. But, you know, it still just shocks me that people would resort to this stuff. But you know what? That's the world we live in. Let's not be naive. Let us be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. As we go out here and do the work of God and pursue his power, we better be ready for a battle, and we better not be shocked by the means they use to try to come against us. Praise God. So they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Yeah. Now next week we're going to go into his... He gives a defense, which is about a whole chapter long. We're going to get into the details of that and how it relates back to what they just accused him of. But isn't it amazing? Here's Stephen, all the good he is doing, all the lives he is changing, people who have been healed, people who have been delivered, all the glory going to God. And in the face of that, people repenting of their sin and putting their faith in God and Christ, transformed lives. and the beauty and the glory of it all. And yet, they hated him so much for that that they would actually hire men to lie about him to try to destroy him. I don't get it. And yet, we see that happening all the time in history and even in our current day, in spite of all the beauty that God does through his people. The lives that are changed and transformed, the beauty and the glory that he puts in us when he saves us and fills us with his Holy Spirit, heals us and delivers us, and yet people hate us because of that. It amazes me. Guys like Bill Maher, who hates Christianity, mocks God and mocks Christianity, and does everything in his power to discredit it, and yet the history of the church is filled with wondrous things that God's people have done for the world. He says Christianity is a blight on society. It's a plague. It ought to be done away with. And yet Christians are the ones who invented hospitals. Did you know that? How many people have ever been in a hospital? How many people were glad the hospital was there when they had to go? Do you know that hospitals were invented by Christians? Praise God. How many people think slavery is a terrible thing? How many people are glad it's been abolished? Do you know that it was Christians who put an end to slavery? Guys like William Wilberforce over in England, who gave his entire life to the point of his death, laboring year after year after year to put an end to that. It was Christians who loved people so much and loved God so much that they put an end to that thing. How many people in here can read? How many people are glad that you can read? Praise God. Do you know that it is Christians who brought literacy to most of the world? Most of the world today can read and write because of Christian missionaries who went out to various countries where that kind of thing was unheard of, and because they wanted them to understand the truth of the Word of God, they even created letters and languages for them so they could read and write and understand Scripture. It's Christians who have done these amazing things in the world, in history. The world is a better place because of the people of Christ. And yet we are hated for that very thing. Amazing. You hear about atheists trying to stop the funding of faith-based groups, in spite of all the good they're doing. You look in some of the prison systems and some of the faith-based groups that are in prisons, where they are going into these dark holes of humanity. Let me tell you, man, these prisons are scary places. I saw Scared Straight on TV. I was scared straight. Wasn't even in the prison. I was watching it on TV. Man. And yet, they have these groups of believers who are doing wonderful, beautiful things in there, and atheists have got their nose so stuck up in the air that they want to cut off the funding in spite of the good that it's doing, simply because they hate God so much. They hate the concept of God. That's the spirit of the world. That is that satanic spirit that drives and energizes the world, that creates that kind of hatred against the people of God. It is a power encounter between the spirit of God living in us and the spirit of the world and of Satan living in the people of the world. There is a battle going on. This is not just church, man. This is not just some place we show up for. There is warfare going on, and we are the army of God. Amen? Stephen encountered this head on. You may have encountered it even in your own friends and family who are all upset because now you're a spirit-filled, born-again Christian and don't understand. They think you're insane. Think you are off your rocker. They tolerate you at Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year. I don't know who they're thanking. In spite of the fact, isn't it amazing? Isn't this mind-blowing? In spite of the fact that because Jesus Christ has come into our life, we have stability. We are functional. We are balanced, loving, stable people because of the power of God in our lives. Rather than being chaotic, dysfunctional, crumbling, you know, basket cases, addicted to this, that, and the other thing, enslaved and in bondage and fear and anxiety. Because we are balanced, normal, rich, loving, caring people, they hate us for that. They would rather have us be the basket case we were just so that they didn't have to put up with Jesus. That amazes me. When I first got saved, my family was like, oh man, don't even go there. I'm like, do you want me back the way I was? Are you crazy? You're the crazy ones. Man, why do you want that? Man, as long as we're not religious, as long as we don't love Jesus, they'd rather have us the other way. And that can be so frustrating, man. I don't know if you guys have ever gotten frustrated by that. And it's tempting, you know, when people come against you because of your walk with Christ, it's tempting to want to get in the flesh and just retaliate. You know, they say something stupid, and I'm not trying to put them down. I don't mean that, you know, to diss them or anything. But frankly, you know, people say stupid stuff sometimes, you know. And, you know, you love the person, but, you know, the stuff they say is, and you know, they say these things, and, you know, you just want to sometimes react in the flesh and say, what? What? And it can be hard because sometimes it's very hurting, the stuff they say. It's not only stupid, but it's painful. Yeah, if you could see the faces from my perspective, you'd be going, yeah, right, yep. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's so tempting to want to get in the flesh and say, man, are you, look, man, let me just set you straight. You are so confused. It'd be very tempting to get in the flesh and jump down their throat with anger and frustration and just decimate their supposed logic. You know, you want to say, let me show you how stupid and illogical that is. First of all, point A. You're like, they're really going to win them then. Yeah. If I can show them how stupid they are, of course they'll come to Christ. They'll just say, of course, I'm such a stupid idiot. Let me get saved. Yeah. And so, you know, when I look at Stephen, this man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and his accusers have leveled all their lies against him. And he knows that he knows he hasn't been doing that stuff. And they have heaped all these accusations and all these lies and all this venom against him. And they have totally dragged him through the mud. And in verse 15 it says, and all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of a what? An angel. I wish that was my testimony. When people say stuff, and I'm not going to name names, but some of the folks in my family, dear and near to me, when they come and they say stuff against my faith, oh, to be able to have that testimony. And they all looked across the dining room table at John, and he steadfastly gazed at him, and he had the face of an angel. Thank you, Lord. 2009. Yes, sir. Praise God. But what does that really mean? I mean, you know, it sounds cool. It's all get out. Yeah, I want that. But what are they saying there? What do they really mean? He had the face of an angel. Before we ask from that, we better make sure we know what we're asking for. What is he talking about there? Well, let me say this from the start. If you're thinking, when you think about an angel, the face of an angel, if you're thinking about some cutesy wootsy, delicate little, cuddly little baby face, you know, cooing and wooing, you know, some little innocent cherub, let me set the record straight. He ain't that kind of an angel. That is not what God had in mind. When he said he had the face of an angel, it doesn't mean Stephen was really cute. And his cheeks got rosy, and his lips got plump, and, you know, he just, and all the Sanhedrin just wanted to say, oh, isn't he cute? Just want to pinch your cheeks, Stephen. Yeah. He ain't that kind of an angel. Praise God. That is not the defense of God against the forces of darkness to make you cute. We're not talking about some little Cupid flying around butt naked with a bow and an arrow. That he ain't that kind of an angel. Let me tell you the kind of an angel I think he's talking about. We're talking about his face was like a warrior from heaven. I think that's the kind of face that he had. If you notice the glow around his head and the luminance coming from his breastplate and his wings, that's the kind of angel I think he had a face like.